finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to the Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition program. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones. We thank you for being part of today's program. As we have a great program prepared for you today as an outreach ministry of Lamb Lion Ministry. And for those of you that follow us live, we want to invite you to get your Bibles ready as we dive in to the amazing book of Isaiah, as we have a lesson prepared for you called Spiritual Outpouring. So we would love for you to follow along and share this with your friends and family. And before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for a brand new year where we can get back into your word and study it deeply, Lord. I pray that this is a wonderful year, Lord, where people grow in their faith, many get saved. Lord, we see your kingdom advance. And maybe even this is the year of the rapture. We praise you, Lord, and we pray for your blessing upon this study. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into the Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that of spiritual outpouring as we look at the book of Isaiah chapter 43 and 44. And of course, before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, what a blessing it is to be together again.
Together again. Isn't that old Muppet song? We're kind of like the Muppets. Yeah, man, it's great to be back. Continuing, we've been, folks, if you've been following the Truth Will Set You Free podcast, we started in 2010. I can't believe, Vic, it's 2026. Can you believe it?
No, Nathan, I really cannot, because time goes so fast, but it is exciting. I mean, here I was thinking, we are such a blessed generation, Nathan. We saw the turn of the century, not only that, but also a millennium, and then a quarter of a century, because we're already past 25 years, right? And now we're 26, and it's really, what a blessed generation we are.
Well, that brings me back to Y2K, right? Do you remember?
Exactly.
I think we all remembered when the clock turned and everybody was worried, you know, all the computers shut down. And, you know, I was working an overnight shift at a bank where I was in IT. And, you know, we thought, oh, we're going to get so many calls and everything will, and nothing happened. Praise the Lord. Now we're 25, we're a quarter century later. Can you, we're getting old, brother.
Right. So, well, Nathan, what I mean is, you know, all those that are kind of like our age or in our era, when you look back, I mean, in history, there were people that never would have imagined 2,000 years of walking into the next century, or let alone 100 years. And here we are seeing all this happen. And not only that, how everything is just lining up in the Word of God, right? Prophetically. So it's really a blessing.
Yeah, we're seeing Bible prophecies come true faster and faster. With folks, you know, it's the word's called convergence, where all the different signs of the end times start converging together, not one here or there, like a sign of nature or society or world politics or technology or whatever, but they're all, and they're coming in greater frequency and intensity, just like the Lord said. And so that's why the book of Isaiah is so relevant, because it really is like Daniel is. It's like the Old Testament version of Revelation. There's so much prophecy in it. And we learn so much about the current events today and what will transpire in the future. Brother, I'm blessed. I'm glad we finally, after all this time, tackled Isaiah.
Oh, absolutely. But Nate, maybe someone is new to the program, or maybe they just joined us this new year and they're not familiar with our resources and what we do. Might you be able to share that with them?
Oh, absolutely. Well, if you tuned in to The Truth Will Set You Free, we're the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. And we've been doing that for, this will be our 46th year. Can you believe that? 46 years of proclaiming the soon return of Jesus. That might seem like a long amount of time, but it isn't in the scope of God's plan. We know that he's every day he's coming closer and closer. So we produce a lot of materials to help people grow in their understanding of the 31% of the Bible that's prophecy. And you can find out more about that on our website at christinprophecy.org, or download our Lamb Lion app. And there again, we have a wealth of articles, our TV show, Christ in Prophecy, as long with the radio show, Christ in Prophecy, an archive of these podcasts, and many more. We have social media. We have so many things. Just check us out. christinprophecy.org. I think you'll be blessed.
Praise the Lord. And for those of you that maybe happen to browse the bookstores and are book readers, I want to share with you also another amazing resource, Nathan's new book about the millennium. And Nathan, now that can also be found in Barnes and Nobles.
Yeah, well, I was rather surprised over the Christmas break to walk into Barnes and Noble and see my book on the shelf. It met the pre-order criteria of a certain amount pre-ordered in order to be on the shelves. So praise the Lord for that. Now, Vic, you've got your book on the letters of Revelation. I'm writing a new book on that's a Q&A book about the rapture and second coming. And then Vic and I's book, The Mighty Angels of Revelation, is going to be picked up by Harvest House Publishers for a second edition. And that'll come out, unfortunately, all the way in 2027. But we'll be working on it this year and getting it all ready. And so we got a lot of books in store.
Nathan, and that's the fun thing. You and I are not short of things to do for our retirement, as we say.
Nope, keeping busy, that's for sure. But folks, we write and produce these videos and podcasts and all because we want you to be able to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, to stand in awe of his majesty and wonder and look forward to his return and our eternal life with him. So I'm glad you're on this journey with Vic and me.
Oh, praise the Lord. And speaking of journey, we are journeying through the amazing book of Isaiah. So we want to encourage those of you that are tuned in to get your Bibles ready, a piece of paper to take some notes. Again, you're tuned into a 2 to 7 feet Bible Prophecy Edition with Vic Batista and Nathan Jones. We are, again, the topic is spiritual outpouring as we look at Isaiah 43 and 44. Nathan, we had such a great time in chapter 43, but unfortunately, you know, we love technology, but sometimes technology can have its glitches, right?
Yes. So if you tuned in to our last episode and you wonder why it ended 7 minutes short, we do apologize for that. That was a technological glitch. We got cut off. Fortunately, for the streaming version that Vic, you put on Facebook, right?
Yes.
That was still going. So, but we're going to back it up to chapter 43 and briefly finish verses 22 through 28 to get to our main objective, which of course is chapter 44.
That is fantastic. Nate, would you be able to take us through those verses and then we'll follow up in 44?
Absolutely. Okay. So here's God. He's pleading with Israel, which continues to be unfaithful. He says, verse 22, "But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you've burdened me with your sins. You've wearied me with your iniquities. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins, but put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case, that you may be acquitted. Your first fathers sinned, and your mediators have transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary. I will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches."
Nathan, wow, what an amazing passage. I mean, verse 26, Nate, is so powerful. "Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together." I just think that it's so often we forget God, much like the children of Israel, all the amazing thing that God has done for us. It's almost like we get blessed and then we move on. We just celebrated Christmas last year and get a bunch of presents, a lot of blessings, and then you put them on or you play with them and then you just sort of move on and you just forget about that. And it seems like spiritually, God's people sometimes have a tendency, okay, thank you, God, you have done all this for me, but now let's move on. Now what, you know?
Yeah, and this really reminds me of the book of Malachi, which is the last of the minor prophets' books, the last Old Testament book, because, okay, so this is 2,700 years ago, 300 years later in about 400 BC, the Jewish people have returned to the land and they were in exile. God punished them and a believing remnant came back. They were on fire for the Lord. But a generation or two later, you know, you've got the prophet Malachi. He's a priest at the temple and he's watching the people bring the sacrifices to the temple. And they're only doing it because they feel they have to do it. And they're not following the prescriptions of making the sacrifices point to the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. They're bringing, you know, lame animals and sick animals, and they just didn't care. And Malachi contends with them, as Isaiah says here, And they say the same thing these people say, like, we are weary of following you. We just don't want to do it anymore. And boy, it just breaks God's heart. So here we've got Isaiah's time, which, because of their disobedience, and they will end up going into exile. But in Malachi's time, 300 years later, the Lord won't speak to the Jewish people for 400 years, not till Christ comes and he's announced through the John the Baptist. And so it's just sad because it's supposed to be a relationship. It's not about sacrifice. The sacrifices are about covering one's sins temporarily until the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus, comes. But it was about fellowship with God. And the people just, you're right, Vic, they just didn't want to fellowship with him anymore. God was in the background and they were happy to keep him there.
Nathan, and you made a good point about fellowship and relationship. You and I have been married for many years. Can you imagine us speaking to our wives for, in this case, it was 400 years, but if we don't talk to our wives for a half hour, we're already in trouble.
It's very true. You know, a relationship requires time, commitment, interest, love, and the people were just not feeling the love, and yet it was all one-sided because God, as we read earlier in chapter 43, is constantly pouring out his love on the people, defending them, blessing them, giving them good harvests, you know, bountiful wombs, defense from their enemies. You know, he's going to give his son to sacrifice himself on their behalf. They have the messianic prophecies, and yet the people are just, what have you done for me today, God? You know, they just, it's just really sad that the human heart is so short-sighted and so self-centered that we don't see God's radiant love all around us, guiding us all the time.
Excellent point. And I will say to anyone tuned in right now, what a great way to start this new year by remembering, giving thanks, remembering all the amazing things that God has done. And as you continue to follow the Lord, remember that He's always going to be with you. Do not turn your back on Him. Do not forsake Him. Do not grow weary. God loves you and has a great plan for your life. And Nate, we see that continue to unfold. As we enter into chapter 44, God does not give up on his people. We notice there, chapter 44, if we can pick it up, Nate, verses 1 through 9, and I'll do verses 1 through 5. If you can do 4 through 9 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
Sounds good. Yeah, this is a long chapter, so we'll probably have to go through it with a little speed.
Yeah, and it says, yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour out, notice, pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offsprings. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand the Lord's and the name himself by the name of Israel, and name himself by the name of Israel.
Wow, that's again, the Lord is pouring out his blessing on the people, even though they're, you know, putting the hand up to him. Picking up in verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, the Messiah, I am the first and I am the last. In other words, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Beside me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one.
Oh man, Nathan, I mean, there is so much in this passage. We just talked about going through it quickly because there's so many verses, but we look at these hidden nuggets. Two things that I notice here is again, the outpouring, the Holy Spirit for those who are thirsty, and then prophecy, how accurate prophecy is, and there are no others who can proclaim the things like the Lord can.
No, I mean, God's again pointing out the point that there is only one God. There's no other gods. There's demons who masquerade as gods. There's people who long to be elevated to godhood, but they're all false gods. There's only one creator, and that is Yahweh God. And so he's saying to them, What's the point of you turning to yourselves or idols or demons or whatnot? They're useless. I am the ultimate. There should be an excitement there about our relationship. There should be a desire to seek me. And now, bear in mind, we're in the church age, so we have the Holy Spirit in us. If we're saved, we have churches, we have Bibles, we have all this. It's all there. What did the Jewish people have at the time? They had one temple in Jerusalem. They had the priesthood they could go to. They had synagogue, which became more popular later, but they could meet together. They didn't have the word as much, but they had ceremonies, they had the feasts, they had all these things to remember God. So I would say that they didn't have as easy access to all the materials that connect us to God today. But if they were faithful and prayed, the Lord would reveal himself to them. And so I'm not excusing them, but we've got so much more. We've got the New Testament. We know who the Messiah is, Jesus Christ. We know the sacrifice. And so we have so much more to be in awe of. I just think the next phase, right, Vic, is the millennial kingdom, where Jesus himself will be ruling and reigning over this earth, and those people will have even more revelation than we have today.
Oh, Nathan, and that's why we are so excited about the future. Some people are not don't see much of a future. Well, I guess if people put their eyes just on America, on the world around them, what's happening even in our country, we know there are issues in Venezuela and different things like that. But our eyes are on the ultimate future and the ultimate what the Lord has for us, according to John 14, according to Revelation chapter 21 and 22. We know that our destiny, where we lie, those of us that have a relationship with the Lord, and the millennium kingdom is also part of that future that makes it so exciting for us, Nate. And that's why people that don't have a relationship with God, oftentimes they're putting their eyes on the wrong thing. They're worrying about the wrong thing. But we know that our future is secure in Jesus and prophetically according to his word.
Absolutely. And I love in verse 8, he says, "You are my witnesses." In other words, only to Israel did God reveal himself. They are the chosen people. They are to be his witnesses. And that's why he doesn't want a bunch of apathetic witnesses or ones chasing idols and chasing after the things of this earth. The glory and grandeur of God is so incredible that he has to actually hide himself. People say, "Where's God?" Well, if we looked at God face to face, it'd be like sticking our head in a nuclear reactor. Our earthly bodies couldn't take it. So he gives us his word, the prophets, revelation, prayer, his Holy Spirit, even, to connect with him. And I know we long for the day where we can see him face to face, but in this fallen earth and these fallen bodies, we're just not equipped to.
Nathan, you made a good point, and I love verse 8 because it talks about you are my witnesses. And when we consider that word and we back up a little bit there to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, outpouring of God's Spirit there in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 3 and 4, it just comes to mind, the promises and the prophecies of the Old Testament, like Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, where the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh. And then Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 18, where the Holy Spirit comes, Nate, and it's poured out on the church. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, where it says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will give you power to be witnesses, my witnesses. The Greek word there is martus, where we get our English word for martyrs. In other words, people will be willing to die for their faith in being that witness for Christ. And Nate, here the Bible in Isaiah is talking about those type of witnesses. That's what God wants from us, and that's what God wants us to become.
Absolutely. You bring up a good point. If you are a Christian, that means you're a Christ follower. That means you are an ambassador for Christ, a witness for Christ. That's what testimony means. When we share how we got saved, that's our witness to people. We share our story. Nobody can refute your story. You can get into deep theological battles with people and stuff, but when it comes to your story of salvation, that's ironclad. That's your experience, and people can't refute that. And it changes lives. The Holy Spirit connects with people through that. So, yeah, brothers, Israel was the Old Testament witness. Now the church, both Jew and Gentile members, are the witness for the Lord, and his own Holy Spirit and the Bible also proclaims his witness. So, Brother, we got a lot of information. When people say, God's hidden, or we don't know anything about him, there is a lot to know about him.
Oh, absolutely, Nate. And that's why in the book of Exodus, the Bible talks about idolatry and that there's no that we're not to make an idol of anything or image. There's only one God. And here in Isaiah chapter 44, unfortunately, we find that that's been the case with God's people. They fall into so much idolatry. And from verses 9 to verses 20, Nate, here in chapter 44, we're going to see how God feels about that and what we are to do. So, Nate, would you be able to read for us? This will be a little bit of a long passage, verses 9 through 14, and then I'll read verses 15 through 20 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
Okay. Verse 9. Those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who would form a god or mold an image that profits him nothing? Surely all his companions would be ashamed. And the workmen, they're mere men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear. They shall be ashamed together. This blacksmith with the tongs works one in the coals, fashions it with the hammer, and works it with the strength of his arms. Even so, he is hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water, and he's faint. The craftsman stretches out his rule. He marks one out with chalk. He fashions it with a plane. He marks it out with a compass, and he makes it like the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain and in his house. Stop there.
Nope. Yeah, notice verse 14 says he cuts down cedars for himself and takes a cypress and the oak. He secures it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine and the rain nourish it. Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it and warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Indeed, he makes a god and worships it. He makes a carved image and falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire. With his half, he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He even warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire." And the rest of it, and he makes into a god. He carves image. He falls down before and worships it, prays for it, and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. And no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge, no understanding to say, "I have burned half of it in the fire. Yes, I have also baked bread on its coals. I have roasted meat and eaten it. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?" He feeds on ashes and deceived, excuse me, a deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, "Is there not a lie in my right hand?" Nathan, it's kind of like humorous, but isn't that what we see today?
It sounds very wordy, but God through Isaiah is making a point here. You chop a branch off a tree, you cut it, and then you throw it in the fire and you cook and you eat and whatever. And the other side, you whittle it into a little god and you bow down and worship it. Isn't it just as pathetic? I mean, useless as the wood that's thrown in a fire. Vic, it's hard for us in this day and age to understand idolatry, but I got a good view of it back in my college years. We went on a world religions tour to New York City, our class and our professor at Bible school, and we went to a Hindu temple. And the Hindu temple was filled with thousands of these ugly little wooden idols. I mean, just etched and carved, and they had bigger ones in the corners, and they had this Hindu priest that were actually giving these giant statues baths with milk. They were pouring milk all over the wood, and the people were lighting incense to these little statues. And supposedly Hinduism has 300 million gods. And so I asked my professor, I said, do these people really think these wooden idols are their gods? And he says, well, the lower castes or the less educated really believe that these little idols have power in them. But the more educated or the more theological understand that the idols are representation of spirit beings. And the Bible's very clear that these spirit beings are demons. So what is idolatry at its root, at its heart? It's demon worship.
Wow, and Nathan, that's a very good point. There's a spiritual tie behind these things. Anything that we put above God or before God can become an idol. And we've seen, and I mean, when you say millions, Nathan, I believe it. There's so much idolatry even during our time. Obviously, we're not bowing down or burning incense to these little things. But boy, I tell you, they just came out with a new Corvette, and I really, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, think of the cell phone. I mean, how many hours a day that people sit in front of a cell phone and they go to the cell phone for their answers. You know, they go to it for their entertainment. They go to AI for solutions to their problems. I would think we're seeing a very good example of idolatry right in our day and age.
Oh, Nathan, I tell you, and if people don't believe that that is a powerful worship type of thing, try to take their cell phone away.
Yes. Yeah, take a cell phone away from a teenager and see who they really worship. Yes, it's frightening, man. It's absolutely frightening.
Yeah, and that's just a reality. So listen, for those of you that are tuned into a program, it is we're fighting a spiritual battle, much like the Israelites here, much like Isaiah's writing. It's just taking on a different form during our time, but it's just as powerful. The hindrance is just as powerful, and the pull on society. And Nathan, yet we find in verses 21 through 28, God does not give up on his people. He continuously tells them to remember certain things and not to forget. So, Nate, I'll pick it up there, verses 21 through 24, and maybe you can close it for us in verses 25 through 28 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
Sounds good.
And continuing, we notice this: remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, and every tree in it, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself.
Who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, "You shall be inhabited," to the cities of Judah, "You shall be built," and I will raise up her waste places. But who says to the deep, "Be dry," and I will dry up your rivers? Who says of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure," saying to Jerusalem, "You shall be built," and to the temple, "Your foundation shall be laid." Oh, Vic, did we have to end this lesson in verse
Didn't we?
28? There's so much prophecy in verse 28.
Nathan, we're gonna have to do like a little recap on our next program so we can continue and touch on this one just slightly, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Folks, we're going to come back next week and we'll cover Cyrus because this is a major prophecy, a prophecy about a man who won't show up for another 150 years. But the back to the main point of this is that God is comparing a piece of wood, something that we value that's earthly and temporal, and we're placing it over a God who created us, who created the universe, who has all power. It should be no match. And yet, for some reason, because of our fallen human states, we gravitate to the lesser instead of the much, much, much greater. And that's a lesson that people in Isaiah's time need to learn, but it's also a time in our time that we need to learn it as well.
Oh, absolutely, Nate. And again, this program was to encourage you. We close by saying remember. A few times we read here the Lord calling people to remember, remembrance of what he has done for you. Run away from idolatry. Turn to the Lord in a relationship with him. And maybe you're tuned into this program and you have not turned to the Lord. We want to give you an opportunity right now to come to Jesus. He loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. And it all starts with you recognizing that you are sinners. According to Romans chapter 3, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the book of Acts is clear that if we call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. And then according to 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So wherever you are, maybe right now you might want to pause and call on the name of the Lord. Give him an opportunity by just saying, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. But God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name. And if you pray that prayer, that simple prayer of know that you have started this wonderful relationship with the Lord, he lives inside of you now. Well, you can always call us or text us. We want to celebrate with you at 305-992-9537 or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. And again, we thank you for starting this wonderful journey with the Lord. And Nathan, isn't that the best way to start the year?
It's the only way to start the year.
And that's why we're also encouraged by what God is doing in your lives. And we ran out of time for this segment of the program, but we encourage you to continue to stay tuned to our next programs as we continue making our way through the book of Isaiah. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Thank you for joining us today.
John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son,